You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
When you pray, pray like this: Our Father, who art in heaven.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
God, our Father in heaven, we put into your hands everything we are and everything we have. You are ours, and we are yours. Lead us through the dark places and over the rough spots. Fire up within us the fire of faith and the full flame of love, even as you have loved us in your Son Jesus with an everlasting love. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, who has taught us to pray to you, our Father, who art in heaven. Amen. Jesus said, "When you pray, pray like this: Our Father, who art in heaven." As soon as he said that, there were people, just as there are today, who must have thought and even said, "That's useless. That's foolish. That's impossible." Others must have asked themselves, who is he to tell us how to pray to God? Who really prays to God these days anyway and expects to be heard? If you do pray to God, how can you call him Father except merely as a figure of speech? On December 4th, 1836, almost 150 years ago, the Los Angeles Herald Express published a news item. It said, "A man about 46 years of age, giving the name of Joshua Coppersmith, has been arrested in New York for attempting to extort funds from ignorant and superstitious people by exhibiting a device which he says will convey the human voice any distance over metallic wires so that it will be heard by the listener at the other end. He calls the instrument a telephone, which is obviously intended to imitate the word telegraph and win the confidence of those who know the success of the latter instrument, without understanding the principles upon which it is based. Well-informed people know that it is impossible to transmit the human voice over wires. Were it possible to do so, the thing would be of no practical value." I wouldn't be at all surprised today if the telephone industry in all parts of the world employs more people than any other human enterprise. But here is the thing that only 150 years ago people said would not work. It's just another example of a great human propensity. Open mouth, insert foot. The history of the telephone illustrates how stupid people can be. The telephone instrument itself is a means of communication spanning the miles and even the oceans. I dialed my wife on the telephone all the way from Australia to the United States. The telephone rang, and there she was, her voice sounding as if she were standing in the next room. Don't tell me that the thing can't work. It doesn't always work, but it certainly can. You can hear my voice today, without any wires at all. The instrument to which you are listening responds to waves in the air induced by an electrical impulse maybe 1,000 miles away. You tune the station, and there you have it. It is a fairly simple human mechanism, but it works. There are all kinds of people around who wonder whether God can hear prayer. They pick up the phone, dial a number, and get the score of the football game. But they wonder whether God can hear prayer. That's probably the main reason most people don't pray. It isn't that they don't have enough time or they don't have anything to pray about. They just don't have very much confidence that prayer works, that God hears. Some people even wonder whether he exists, whether he cares. Jesus never spent any time arguing with people about whether God exists. Evidently, he felt that the last word on that subject had already been said. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. If I read it correctly, he did not spend a lot of time trying to convince his disciples that they ought to pray. He didn't have to. His example convinced them of that. What they wanted to know was, Lord, teach us to pray. He said, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven. I find that simple word strengthening and comforting. It has a warmth about it. A light goes on to dispel the darkness. Jesus called God Father, and he told us not only to think of him as a father, but to call him Father too. God the Father is not just a figure of speech. God is a reality that can best be described by the word Father. God is a father. Whether you recognize him or not, and whether you believe in him or not, you don't make him a father. It is the father who makes sons and daughters, not the other way around. This is a comforting thought. Sooner or later, richer or poorer, the arrogant and often contemptuous world will have to come to the realization that God, our Father, is still in the driver's seat. If people insist on treating God as a nonentity, they will find it out for themselves. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. He shall hold them in derision. With all his power and almighty presence, God is a father. Jesus said so. He knew, and he wanted you to know. He called him Father, and he knew him as Father. Jesus said, the Son who is in the bosom of the Father discloses him to the whole world. The truth is that if you want to know God as Father, you will have to know him as Jesus knew him. And to know him as Jesus knew him, you'll have to look at Jesus himself. He is the image of the invisible God, the light of his being, and the splendor of his presence. If you want to know who the Father is and how he feels toward you, just look at Jesus Christ. There you have it. He that has seen the Son has seen the Father. Jesus said that. People found it easy to talk to Jesus Christ. He never turned anybody away. Lepers talked to him, and he touched them. Blind men called to him, and he stopped to listen. People crucified him for his faithfulness to his Father, but he died for the very people who put him to death. Father, he said, forgive them, for they have no idea of what they are doing. They certainly don't. People think they are singing the song of life when they're really croaking like frogs. They think that they're getting ahead, but they're really working up for themselves a good, swift kick in the pants. Some of them even think that they're serving God when they're doing everything they can to defeat his purpose in the world. There's no hope in that kind of stuff, and everybody knows it. Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this, Our Father who art in heaven. Nobody is ever going to remove him from his heaven. His heaven is right close to you at this moment. Jesus Christ is God come to earth because God is a Father. Jesus Christ is the answer of the Father to the hostility of the world. When we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. When we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins. When we were yet wondering whether it could all be true, Christ rose from the dead to be the Lord of heaven and earth, all because God is a Father. God forgives as a Father, and God gives as a Father. He's not a distant Father. He is with us in His Son, whose name is Emmanuel, God with us. By His resurrection from the dead, Jesus, God's Son, will always be one of us, always inviting everyone to come to faith in Him and join the Father's family, always installing sons and daughters as members of the Father's family with warm, loving faith that God our Father gives to His children. As St. Paul said, we are all the sons and daughters of God by faith in Jesus Christ. People said to the Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray as members of God's family. He advised them not to try to impress God with a lot of words. God is not impressed with anything except faith. He is a Father as He has shown Himself to be in His Son, Jesus. God looks into your heart this day. What He sees there is not always pretty, I know. You know it too. But God is your Father. He wants to forgive you, to give you life. He wants to bless His children. If there's anything God hates, it is hypocrisy. Pretense doesn't get anywhere with God. He sees it masquerading as piety or conceit, and it gets a real blast from Him. The Lord's hardest words were reserved for those who put on a show for God. Now, just for a moment, forget that hard exterior, those secular preoccupations, those splendid ambitions, those discouraging disappointments, and pick up this telephone. You don't have to dial. It's a hotline. Have faith in God that it's true. God is listening. What are you going to say? Say this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When you pray, Jesus said, begin with God. Forget about yourself for a moment. This is hard to do, I know, but when you forget about yourself, you acknowledge the greatness and goodness of God, which comes first. He comes first. If that seems strange to you, maybe that's why you haven't been praying very much. As Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all the rest of the ordinary things will fall into place, including the necessities of life that often occupy first place in our attention. Do not be anxious about tomorrow, said Jesus, because God knows what you need tomorrow. Today is what counts. Today is the time to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Not the bread for tomorrow, but the bread for today. You can spell that out for God if you want to. He won't mind. In fact, He will be pleased. Pray in this way, Jesus said. Give us this day our daily bread. And bread is everything that belongs to everything that we need to supply the wants and needs of body and spirit. And forgive us. Don't forget that. Forgive us. That's not the way people usually pray, of course. They have the idea that God ought to be impressed with them for some reason or other. This is the prayer that impresses Him. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. The King James Bible translates it debts, and earlier English translations have it trespasses. While people are arguing about the words, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And now, our Father in heaven, please protect us as only You can and only You will. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We don't expect life to be trouble-free, but we do look to You, our Father in heaven, for help every step of the way. Keep us from being taken in or being dragged down by all the forces that make life a living hell. Jesus knew all about that. He experienced it Himself. He knows all about it today, having experienced the worst that life can offer, even death. Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this: Our Father who art in heaven, protect and deliver us with all the grace and power that you have shown the world in your own Son, Jesus Christ. We're comforted and sustained by your power and presence, O God. We're forgiven by your grace and endowed with life by faith in your Son, Jesus, delivered for our offenses and raised from the dead to put us right with you, justified to stand in your presence boldly with respect for you, but not afraid, ready to serve everyone, but refusing to be a slave to anyone but you. We're persuaded that you are listening, O God, and that you hear our prayer. Your Son convinces us of that. It's great to know you, O God, our Father. It's good to know you, that you're near and that you hear. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So it is and so it will be. Amen. Forever and ever. Amen.
Been listening to a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. If you have found this message helpful for your own life, may we suggest that you share this cassette with others? This cassette service is a special ministry of the Media Services Division of the International Lutheran Layman's League.